This way you have not understood what Paul said.
To be accursed of God is to be cut off eternally from God. It is to be lost eternally. Paul says, bear well this in mind. He didn't say I can just go and die physically for the salvation of my brethren, not at all. He said that I may be cut off if my eternal damnation would serve for the eternal salvation of my people. If it would help, so may I eternally, that my people may live. Think well on this. And there are some superficial Christians and commentators who say, oh, tuk, 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 tuk. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. He is prepared to go to hell? Don't be so superficial. Don't be foolish. He is willing to stake his eternal well-being. He is willing to go to hell if his people could be saved. Now that is the spirit of Christ. Paul would never dare to say a thing like this if it were not that he saw that is exactly what Christ did. Paul tells us that is exactly what happened to Christ. He became a curse for us. He was accursed for us. Who knew no sin. He, the righteous, risked his eternal well-being to go to hell that we might go to heaven. Does that shock you? It shocks me. It touches me that Jesus, God's manifest in the flesh, blessed forever, was willing not just to come down for a while into the world and to take on the form of a servant and suffer for a while. He was willing to say to the Father, if my going to hell would save all mankind, so be it. So be it. Oh my Jesus, that you were willing to go to hell for me, that speaks to my heart. That you were willing to die on the cross, that touches me somewhat. But that he was willing to stake his eternal well-being. Now that is what Paul understood so clearly. That is what he saw Jesus do. And therefore he said, if only I could do the same. If I could follow in the steps of my God, he who was willing to risk everything, if I might perish to save my brethren, not just physically, Paul was no man who was afraid of death, but spiritually, do you dare to say that? Do we dare to think that? If I could perish spiritually, if my spiritual perishing through the bearing of the sins of my people could avail that our Chinese people could go to heaven, so be it. Would I be happy in heaven with my Christ and my Lord and all those I love are in hell? Or would I not be happier, even in hell, would I not be happier to see those I love rejoice in the presence of the Father? That is the spirit of Christ. That is Paul's spirit. That I may be accursed, condemned by God to eternal damnation for my people's sake. Now we are talking at a level of depth that our superficial Christianity has not prepared us for. It boggles even our mind. It causes our knees to shake. That kind of Christianity. What do we have for Christianity today? A group of people who only want to get to heaven. I want to get to heaven. If you go to hell, too bad for you. Let me get to heaven. Sickening. It is sickening. I don't see this attitude in the spirit, in the scriptures. What I see in the scriptures is an attitude of the suffering servant. Christ said, take up your cross and follow me. He took up his cross, which meant not just some physical suffering, but he risked his eternal well-being. He says, follow me in the same spirit. Don't go and just seek your own well-being in heaven while everybody else perish. But may that they may live, that they may go to heaven. Even if it must mean, not just my physical suffering, but I go to hell. If it must be, if possible. What is our Christianity today? No wonder with this kind of Christianity we cannot understand the depth of Christ's suffering. Was there any risk to Christ of eternal damnation? We shall look at this on Sunday. If there were no risk, let me tell you this as a preliminary answer. What was Jesus crying out with loud tears? He who was not afraid of death, would he cry out with loud tears and supplications and pleadings to him who was able to save him from death? Now, did God save him from death? Did he? Physical death? The answer was not. He wasn't saved from physical death. God didn't hear him. Did he? But it tells us here in Hebrews 5:7 that he was heard. How was he heard? He died on the cross. He wasn't heard. When they said, come down from the cross, isn't your God able to save you? He wasn't delivered. He perished on the cross, physically. Yet the scripture says he was heard. Of course he was heard. He was heard because he was made alive in the spirit and then also made alive in the flesh. But this point, as I said, I will develop more fully on Sunday because there's not enough time to go into depth here now. So let's examine the one thing. Paul says that Christ became a curse for us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3:13 is in fact a quotation of Deuteronomy 21:23, or a reference to Deuteronomy 21:23. Now this here is something powerful. Christ became a curse for us. And this is what it says in Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed be everyone who hangs on the tree. Cursed by God. Everyone who hangs on the tree, Deuteronomy 21:23 tells us, is cursed by God. Now, what does the curse mean? All you got to do is study what it means in Scripture. The curse means eternal death, eternal damnation. There is not a question about this. Look at the way it's used in the New Testament. The same word, katara, curse, is used in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Peter 2:14, of those who perish eternally, in verse 17. For them the nether gloom of darkness has been reserved for these cursed ones. Terrifying. For them the nether gloom of darkness, hell, has been reserved for those who are cursed. 2 Peter 2:14. Cursed children, children of the curse. A Semitic expression. Or take the way it is used, for example, in the way the Lord Jesus cursed the fig tree in Matthew 11:21. Matthew 11:21, the fig tree is cursed never to bear fruit again. It is perpetually destroyed. Or take, for example, how the Lord Jesus uses the word curse in Matthew 25, verse 41, at the last judgment. The cursed are those who are relegated to eternal fire. Well, that's plain enough to us. In the Old Testament, the curse, the cherem, was used of people who are devoted to utter destruction. Without any hope, they are utterly to be destroyed, without any hope of restoration, wiped out, destroyed. The cherem is used both in the Greek, the same word here for curse, the anathema, in fact, is the word which the Apostle Paul uses in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, for example, with reference to the curse. And there again, it has to do always with eternal damnation, eternal judgment. There is no question of it. If any, it says here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, but if we or any or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. If anyone dares to preach another gospel, let him be accursed, that is, confined to eternal damnation. Why? Because by preaching a false or diluted gospel, and diluted becomes a false gospel, of course, because it is no longer the gospel as it really is. Beware, because you send other people to hell, you deserve hell. The principle of justice is eye for eye, soul for soul, life for life. Everywhere you find the same thing. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, Paul said, let him be anathema. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Anathema. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, he is doomed. He is in trouble.
for a Christ who risked his eternal well-being for your salvation and you don't love him, you are not fit for the heavenly places. Now then, all this should make it clear that when Paul says, let me be accursed if possible and cut off, another term, he is talking not about physical death but his eternal well-being. And so we go forth examining all these points and we must close in a moment. Let me stop at one more point before we close. When the Lord Jesus hung upon the cross, he used the words of the Psalm, Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, if he were not forsaken, the words are meaningless and a piece of pure rhetoric, not worthy to be used in so solemn a situation. That is not a situation for rhetoric or for games or for playing around with words. My God, my God. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani were his actual words in Hebrew. Those words deeply imprinted in my mind. Eli, Eli, my God, my God. Lama, why? Sabachthani, have you forsaken me? Jesus, forsaken upon the cross as he bore our sins. And I made a study of the word forsake in the Bible. And I examined the evidence. You know why God forsakes anyone? To forsake a person is always a person is forsaken because of sin. There are too many references. Let me just give you one. Isaiah 49, verse 14. Zion moans that the Lord has forsaken her because of her sin. God forsakes a person because of sin. And he had become a curse. Cursed, Paul says, is everyone who hangs on the tree. Because he who knew no sin was made sin. Made sin for us. He became sin who knew no sin. And because of sin, God forsook him. Not just physically, please. The forsaking has nothing to do with physical feelings. And then we find that to be forsaken is to be forgotten. God rejects a person completely. To be rejected. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 29. To be forsaken is to be rejected. And to be forsaken is to be the object of God's wrath. Isaiah 54, verses 7 and 8. To be the object of God's anger. That is what it means to be forsaken. Jesus bore the divine anger and so was slain. That anger destroys. When God is angry against those who forsake him, Ezra chapter 8, verse 22. Oh yes, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? An acknowledgement on the one hand of his innocence, on the other hand, that he is forsaken. The psalmist was forsaken. That's why he said, why hast thou forsaken me? Yet he pleaded his innocence, for it is the righteous for the unrighteous. So much is said in those words, so deep, so powerful, that our puny little minds and our dull spiritual insight can barely conceive of what Jesus bore for us. It's enough for one day. And I ask you to ponder and think of what it is that the Lord Jesus bore for us. Did he just die a physical death on the cross? Are the wages of sin physical death? Can sin be atoned by physical death? Think well on it. Because only when you realize that what Jesus risked was no mere physical death, but the eternal well-being, that we begin to understand Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. He cried out. He prayed with strong crying and tears to him who is able to save him from death. Only the Father could save him from spiritual death, which, as we see in Hebrew, in 1 Peter chapter 3, 18, is exactly what the Father did. So whenever we think in the future again of what Jesus endured for us, think not and dwell not merely upon the blood that flowed from his hands and from his side. Dwell not upon the blood that flowed down his temples and the pain that he endured physically. That is the smallest part of it all. When he cried out, it was that his eternal welfare was in the balance. He risked his eternal being. When you understand that, if you can even grasp it, you will begin to be able to sing that song, "And can it be? Can it be that thou, my God, didst die for me?" Let us be quiet before God in prayer.